minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFK. Also the voice of the UNC Bears. Always fun. We're going to be talking some spring ball coming up, too. I know Jerry Schimmel and I will be out there to talk all things UNC football spring. We'll talk to Coach McCaffrey, players. It's going to be a lot of fun. Very honored to have this guest in here. I've been trying to do the pro day circuit. It's new to me. I don't normally go and check out the pro days, but I went to UNC's earlier in the week, went out to CSU's. Joining me now in studio, Komaite Kofi. Komaite, thank you so much, man, jumping in here.
Nah, thank you guys for having me. I mean, it's a privilege to be here.
You guys are dry. You made some food before this, too, yeah. And I can smell the burgers, and it's making me hungry. Are you having leftovers or anything like that?
Most definitely. I mean, if you want me to go grab some for you, I mean, I can go back to the house real quick.
I wouldn't do that to you, man. All right, so I reached out to you. I wanted to talk about Pro Day. I always think it's such a unique thing, you know. Mm-hmm. Of course, you got scouts, you got media members. We're all watching you lift weights, and guys are cheering you on and stuff, man. And you're jumping. It's crazy. They're dissecting everything that you do. What's that like for you, man? Because it's so quiet, you know. And then you're being told, here's what you got to do, warming up and all this stuff. You guys you've played in some monster football games,
yeah.
But then you're in this situation and it's kind of quiet and people are assessing you. What's that like for you personally?
Oh, man, it's very intense. I mean, it's the biggest day of your life. You know what I'm saying? It's like the biggest interview you will ever get. You know what I'm saying? When you're trying to get to this level. So it gets very intense. I mean, it gets very nerve wracking too. You know, obviously, like when you're going through it, you see all eyes is on you. Like you said, every single scout, they're looking for every little detail, how you present yourself, your body language, how you carry yourself as a professional, you know. So you want to make sure you do everything right. You just want to go out there and, you know, prove to them, like, you know, you're ready for, you know, the next step.
Well, you kind of had two different pro days, right? Because you went down to Boulder as well,
right.
And a couple of you guys went to see you, and then you had this on.
Yep.
So how did you talk to us about the difference there? Did you do some things there and then some things here in Greeley? What was that like?
Yeah, so, you know, talking with Coach Ed, you know, we had a plan in place that, you know, we wanted to, you know, do all our running and testing, you know, at CU, you know, just in a controlled environment, just because you know how it is in Colorado. The weather's all over the place.
Like, it's raining during your guys'
exactly, exactly. So it was a blessing, you know what I'm saying? So it was raining during our pro day, so that's what we, you know, definitely decided to do the CU and the testing earlier, you know, just in case, you
makes
know, because we didn't know what the weather was going to look like. But it was great. It was a great opportunity to go out there at CU, and you know, obviously there was more scouts there as well, you
sure.
know what I'm saying? So they wanted us to go out there and perform at a controlled environment, you know, and some of the scouts requested us to go there, so it made it even more better, you know. It made it, you know, it definitely told us, like, hey, we're definitely on some people's radar, like,
sure.
They definitely want to see what we got. So it was a lot of fun.
How do you feel you did in both days?
Oh, man, I felt like I stole the show. I mean, yeah. I felt like I stole the show. You know, everybody was, like, telling me. Everybody was like, nah, you know, you know, all jokes aside, everybody's coming up to me like, hey, yeah, you know, it definitely showed I've been training for 2.5 months. You know, a lot of guys said they've been training for 2.5 months and go out there and it don't really look like it. But, you know, a lot of scouts and everybody and the coaches told me, like, nah, you look great. Like, you definitely look, especially for your size, the way you move and the show I was putting on for the scouts, it was like, yeah. I feel like I definitely performed and did what I had to do.
Well, from what I got to see, really the bench press and what do you call the things? The things that you got to hit?
The vertical jump? The vertical jump, you said?
I like how they're telling you, too. They're like, you know, you don't have to smack them,
yeah,
man. You
yeah,
just have
exactly.
to lightly tap them up there. But I got a good one of you, man.
Yeah,
of course, I can't. I like pressed, you know, I took 465 pictures and one of them
yeah,
turned
yeah.
out okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But you were getting up, man. Yeah, what was the results there?
It was 35 and a half, you know? So man. It was like, yeah. I mean, when you're going through pro day, all you want to do is check out the boxes. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? So, I mean, the scouts just wanted to see if I was athletic for my size. You know, I mean, obviously they knew I was a very, you know, big physical defensive back. So it was like, hey, is he athletic? Like, can he run? Can he jump? You know, and I went out there and I checked all those boxes.
And the bench press, too. I mean, did you hit 20, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah, I hit 20 at UNC, yeah. So I think it puts me up there. If I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure it puts me up there number one for all corners.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's insane. Well, I mean, everyone, as soon as you hit 20, once you hit like 16 or 17, it's like, holy cow, he's going for 20, man.
Yeah.
Had you done, like, what is that like when you're training for that? Have you done 20 before, or do you just do, you know, a certain amount and just train yourself for it? What's the process?
Oh, it's crazy. I never hit 20 before.
Seriously?
Yeah, I never hit 20 before. When I was training at Atlanta Performance down here in Denver, I was always hitting like 18, 19. I can never get 20, you know?
Wow.
And I was always telling the people in my circle, I'm like, nah, I want to get 20. I was even telling my agent, like, you know, my agent was like, nah, 18 is good. Like, after CU, he was like, 18 is good. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you put up 18, definitely show the scouts, like, you have freakishly, like, strength. And I was like, nah, I can't sleep without 20. And that's just the competitor in me. It's like, nah, I want 20. Like, I don't care what anybody say, like, I want to get 20.
Give me goosebumps.
You know?
Right,
yeah. Man. Yeah. So it's like, I already had that mindset. Like, nah, like today, like, I will break my back on this bench. I'm hitting 20 or like any means necessary. So when I got underneath there, it was like, I already had the number in my head. I'm like, 20 is the number, or you're going to have to get off of this bench on a stretcher today. It was like, 20 is
it's
the number.
Dedication. Okay. Yeah. So when did you think, like, when you get to 13, how are you feeling? Are you like, yeah, I'm, or do you even think about that? Like, you're putting up some monster weights there. What's that? What's going through your mind?
It's crazy because I was telling Raven this, I was telling Raven about it, and I was telling my agent about it. It's crazy. When I got to 15, my back cramped. I started having back spasms.
Seriously.
Yeah. Mm. So when I got to 15, I was like, oh my God, like, my back is cramping. So I was like, I might not even be able to hit 18. So when I took my pause around 15 to 16, I was like, you know what? I was like, F it. I just told myself, F it, let's go. And it was like 17, 18. And my back, the more I did, my back kept getting tighter and tighter and tighter. And I was like, oh man. I was like, nah. Remember what you told yourself? You told yourself off a stretcher. So I hit 19, 20, and when I got 20, I was like, yep, that's what I wanted.
That's nuts. How are you feeling today? You feeling okay?
Oh, yeah. I feel, back is kind of sore, but.
You know, it's the same for me, Jaden. I do, you know, when I do my bench presses, I feel a little sore, too. I don't think I could put one of those up, man. I wanted to try something in there, but you guys are just throwing it around. It's insane. It's very entertaining, man.
Yeah. So it's crazy because some of the linemen that you see on Twitter, they're putting up like 22, 26. So,
sure. So right. To do that as a defensive back.
Yeah. So it's crazy. So that number is definitely an eye popping number.
Don't you think too, like, your style of defensive back, you know, physical defensive back, and in this style in the NFL, you need to have those guys, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's getting tough to play defense. I think your position is the hard. I mean, quarterback, we know it's tough to play, and it is, and I get it. But on the defensive side, playing a defensive back, I don't know how you guys do it with the way, especially the NFL, as you're going to see, the way the rule changes are for everything, man. I mean,
exactly.
You have to be so much better than wide receivers.
Exactly. And the thing about it is, too, that we're the most criticized.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy. Like, when you play this position, you can be locking down somebody or doing your job for two quarters, but the minute you get beat.
One play, right?
Yeah, that's all it is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's all it is. And it's like that one play is underneath like a microscope, and it's like, oh, this, and everybody want to critique you and your technique. So it's hard, man. It's hard. It's like day in and day out. You really got to master your craft. You know, you really got to be locked in. Like, you don't have no time for error. I mean, obviously, like any other position is like underneath a microscope, but defensive back, it's like one little play can definitely like, you know, ruin you.
They say to have a short memory, right?
Yeah.
Is that tough for you?
Yeah. I mean, playing the position comes with confidence, you know? So if you get beat on a play, like, for example, when we played Montana State, and the receiver, I pushed the receiver out of bounds, and I didn't know, and the ref said something like, oh, if you force him out of bounds, he can come back in and make a play. So he came back in and he made the play, you know. But I thought the play was dead. You know, I thought the play was dead because I was like, nah, I pushed him out of bounds.
Right.
He's not eligible to catch the ball. And the ref is like, nah, you forced him out, you know. But after that, I had like a short-term memory. It was like, all right, whatever. It is what it is. It's like, on to the next one. It's like, all right, well, now since you caught that touchdown pass, I'm going to make sure now to really turn on the heat on him to make sure, like, let him know I'm here.
I always think that, to me personally, like, that's the most impressive because – the best cornerbacks in the league, college football, whatever, they're going to give up. It's going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to happen, yeah.
But it's how you bounce back. That's the big thing. And I would imagine a lot of scouts look at that, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about demeanor. It's all about how you carry yourself when a play doesn't go your way. I think that's one thing Coach McCaffrey installed in me, you know, playing for him. It was just like he always told us, like, you know, take a deep breath, relax, and then, you know, explode. So He always told us, like, hey, like, you know, it's all right. It's like some people are going to make plays, you know what I'm saying, as long as you're making plays as well, you know. And that's one thing he always told us, like, as long as we're out there making plays, you know, we're going to be just fine.
What's that like? What's that relationship like? And are you good to stay another segment?
Yeah.
Because we got plenty to talk about, man.
Okay.
What's your relationship like with Coach McCaffrey?
Oh, it's great. I mean, me and Coach McCaffrey relationship is kind of like more on a professional level, you know what I'm saying? Like, he like since I got to UNC, like me and him, we had a talk, and it's just been he knew exactly where I wanted to go.
Yeah.
It was like one of them talks. It was like, hey, listen, you know, like I, you know, we had one of them talks. We had an understanding. It's like, hey, I'm not a high school kid or a high school recruit. It's like, hey, you don't have to. You can give me the real from the jump, and it's like, just let me know what I got to do to get there. It's like, I don't care, coach, what I have to do. I'm trying to get to the league. Like, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it, you know? And he basically told me, like, you know, it was one of them understandings, like, you scratch my back, I'm going to scratch yours. And it's like, all right, you know?
Sure.
So our relationship has always been good. It's always been on a professional level where, like, he expected me to handle myself as a pro, you know, and I wanted that for myself. So that's how it's been.
When you transferred from New Mexico State, I mean, was the McCaffrey name what did it for you? Or what was it? Because I mean, I grew up watching Ed McCaffrey. I don't know. I mean, Christian McCaffrey is the name now, right?
Yeah.
Was it the McCaffrey name? What was it about UNC where you said, okay, this is where I'm going to go to really bring my stock up so I can go to the next level?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, anytime you have a chance to play for a coach like Ed McCaffrey, why wouldn't you take advantage of it?
Sure.
You see all these dudes taking advantage of playing for Deion Sanders. You know, there's a reason why dudes want to play for guys like Ed McCaffrey and Deion Sanders, because, you know, their experience and their knowledge of the game is just, you know, you can't find that anywhere else. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, like, so when Ed McCaffrey had offered me the scholarship, I had to jump on it right away because, you know, when I entered the transfer portal, the number one thing I was looking for a coaching staff who can really give me that NFL coaching, that experience, you know. I already came from a you know, FBS school. I didn't already had all the glories and perks and all this stuff that come with the FBS and all that type of stuff. So I didn't really care for that anymore. You know, like I'm saying, like, I'm not a high school recruit. I'm a graduate transfer who's had 1 year left to play, you know, and I'm looking to, you know, get to the next level. So it was more of a business decision for me. Like, who can elevate my game and who can give me the most knowledge I need, or who can give me the most NFL ready? So when my time come up, I won't flinch.
Sure.
So of course, well, the name will come up, the Ed McCaffrey, and it was like, oh, yeah, most definitely. Like, Coach McCaffrey, yeah, I felt like he knew everything there is about the game. So I was like, yeah, I had to go there.
He has those connections, too, and he obviously played at the highest level you can get and played in those in one Super Bowl. So, I mean, he has those stories and connections, too.
Exactly.
Komate Kofi joining us. I guess former defensive back for the UNC Bears. We're looking at that next step for him. We're going to take a quick break because I think you have such a powerful story of how you got here, not just to Greeley, not just to New Mexico State, not just to the United States of America. So I want to talk about that story with you when we come back. If you have some more time, man.
Is that
cool with you?
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Joining us in studio, special guest Komate Kofi. Looking forward to this next segment. Stick with us here on the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Unwind with a good afternoon guy, Brian Gary, weekdays at 3 p.m. on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Twenty-three minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Special guest in studio. We have two guests in studio, but one is not ready for radio just yet. She's getting close, though. I can see it in her eyes, man. Komate Kofi joining us, and we have Raven in studio as well. Komate, man, first off, I love your football stuff. I love your football story and your work ethic and everything that's coming your way. And I mean, I'm sure a lot of people know who your brother is as well, Quiddy Pay. A top 20 draft pick over a year ago, right? Had a good year last year. And I know you guys are extremely tight.
Right.
And so you guys, that's probably been another thing. You talk about Ed McCaffrey and the coaching staff, but having your brother, starting D lineman for the Colts, being able to talk to you about the ins and outs of the NFL, that's probably another big luxury too.
Right. Exactly. I mean, my brother Quiddy is my rock, man. I mean, he's my day one. He's my best friend. He's everything, you know, that you can ever ask for in a brother. You know, he's always been there. Like, he's been giving me tips in the ins and outs and whatever I need, whatever training or whatever treatment I need, you know, he has my back. So it's been incredible. I mean, just his knowledge of the game and just his knowledge of this whole process, it came a long way, you know. Like, he tells me every little trick, every little how interviews are supposed to be ran and what scouts are looking for when I do this, and, like, you know what I'm saying, just look out for this, and they might test me at that. So, like, he definitely made this whole process smooth, you know, this whole transition been smooth because of him.
No, I mean, again, it's such an interesting story, too, you know, learning more and more about you. I know Channel 7 did a full story on you, and I went and watched it. I watched it this morning, actually. Yeah. I watched it last night and this morning. Such, you know, you talk about perseverance and pushing and fighting for this career that you want so badly. And, you know, for me, I'm looking, I go, man, this is probably nothing compared to, you know, your upbringing when you started out and your mother's story. My goodness. Can you take us through your beginning? You know, talk to us a little bit about that, because I just think that I'd love to meet your mom someday, too. Right. She just seems like such an amazing woman. Can you bring us there? Talk to us about that.
Right. So the journey all started in Africa, you know, in Liberia. So, you know, Liberia was having a civil war at the time. You know, some of the rebels didn't like the president or the government that was in power. You know, the same thing you guys see, like, in history and stuff like that. So, you know, they wanted to kill whoever, you know, whoever was behind the government, you know, it didn't matter, like, who, if they felt like you represented the government, you know, they was going to kill you on spot, like, right there on the site. So, you know, my mom was, like, jumping from, like, country to country, you know, trying to, like, survive, you know. So it was, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. Even to this day, when she tells us stories about it, like, we really can't, you know, I can't really even put into words. It's, like, it's crazy what she went through, you know, like, you know, did she have rebels shooting at her? You know, she's pregnant. She have two kids, and it's crazy. You know?
So she had two. So you and your brother, right, are already born at this point.
Right.
How
right.
old were you when you guys finally get to a point where you're getting ready to get out?
I was two.
You were 2 years old.
And Quiddy was just a couple months. I was 2 years old.
I mean, 2 years old, do you remember some of that stuff? Like, just being running and getting out. Do you remember that stuff?
I don't remember any of it. And I'm thankful. Honestly, I'm thankful I don't, because I probably would have been traumatized. Mm. You know, just hearing the story she tells us about it, like, people getting chopped up in front of her. And, you know, I have family members who also went through it. And they also told me and Quiddy, like, the stories that they went through, like, people getting cut open, pregnant ladies getting cut open in front of them. Wow. And it's crazy, man. Like, I'm telling you, like, some of this stuff you can't make up, you know? And just my mom telling me, like, you know, she was on foot and running through, you know, the woods and stuff like that with having a 2-year-old kid, you know, and a couple months old baby.
And pregnant, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, Agnes, and her first name's Agnes,
yeah,
right?
Yep.
Just an incredible woman. So she's running all over the place. She's getting to this point where we got to get out of here. Where does she go? I mean, what? I don't even, like, that process is just so crazy, you know, as far as what's the next step? And she's like, I got to get out of here, essentially. Where did she go?
It's crazy. After she left Liberia, she went to Sierra Leone. And
okay.
That's when I was born. And it's crazy, like, she was telling me, like, you don't really know where to go, you just follow the pack. So you just see people running and you just follow them, like, you guys are all running, you guys, nobody even knows where you guys are going, you guys are just all running together, you know. So she just ends up going to Sierra Leone, which thank God they had, like, a refugee camp for them over there, and that's when I was born, you know. And when she was at Sierra Leone, the people of the country was like, oh, you guys are bringing war to us, because you got to think about it. The rebels are following them. Like, the rebels don't care. They're bringing the war to any place the citizens are going. So, like, if they run into, like, a different country, they're going to follow them to that country and bring war over there.
So other people were looking at that,
yeah,
saying, why are you coming here? You're bringing, they're
exactly,
looking for
exactly.
safety.
So the people from Sierra Leone started to try to injure the people from Liberia, you know, because they was upset. They were like, oh, you guys are bringing war over here, the rebels, they're killing our people, so you guys got to get out of here. So they was, like, forcing them out, like, hurting them and trying to kill them as well. So my mom had to leave Sierra Leone, and then she ended up going to Guinea, and that's when Quiddy was born. You know, so when she was born, I mean, when I was born, she was, like, running away with me and, you know, stuff like that. So when it had ended up getting to Guinea, Quiddy was born, you know. And then that's when I had the refugee camps and everything like that. And then that's when, you know, the blessing had came. It's so crazy when I tell people the story. So my aunt, who was in America at the time, she had, like, it's called, like, we call it a send. Like, so she had, like, basically, like, had put it in a request to come get us, you know, from Africa into the United States at the time.
Okay.
So when you go through that type of process, you know, it's like an interview you have to go through, and they have your name on a list, and, you know, they ask you questions, you know, background checks and everything like that, making sure you're right to, you know, for to get into the United States. So when my mom went in there for her interview, her name wasn't on the list. I mean, our name wasn't on the list.
So her name was on the list.
Yeah, our name, me and Quitty's name wasn't on the list.
Oh my.
So the lady was like, well, ma'am, your kid's name's not on this list. You can't bring your kids. It just got to be you. So my mom was freaking out, and she was just like, my mom was like, there's no way I can leave my kids. There's no way I'm not going. I can't leave my kids. Like, who am I going to leave my kids with? Like, at the time, my dad was with us, but my mom was like, I can't leave these two kids with, you know, their father. Like, how is he going to breastfeed him, and how is he going to take care of him? There's no way. Like, this is the mother's job. So, you know, my mom was crying, and she was calling my aunt, like, to send for us, and, you know, it was a complicated situation where, you know, I guess they was having a hard time to put our names on the list. So when as the process continued, the more we went in for our interviews, the lady who was doing our process, she had fell in love with Quitty. Mm-hmm. You know, Quitty was just a baby. Like I said, he was a couple months old. Mm-hmm. So when she was holding Quitty, you know, talking to my mom, having an interview.
The woman that was checking the list was holding Quitty.
Was okay. Holding Quitty, and Quitty was playing with her pen. Like, Quitty would always grab her pen and put it in his mouth, and Quitty was, like, making her laugh and smile. So with the grace of God, she was like, she fell for my mom. For the grace of God, she was like, you know what? Nah, I'm gonna put you guys on the list. Like, wow. You know, I'm gonna just do you guys this favor. I'm gonna pass you guys through. And that's what I tell people all the time. Like, I tell people all the time, it's a blessing. I'm not even supposed to be here. If you really think about it, like, you know, my mom, she knows that too. We're not even supposed to be here at all. Like, we could have been killed, you know, like, it's, I can't even imagine how many bullets passed by my head, you know, or it's just crazy, man. Like, God really came through for us, you know, even talking about it a little bit, I get emotional about it because it's like, you know, because it's like this whole journey, man, it's just been.
Yeah.
It's been tough, you know, like, I just can't believe, like, you know, God really came through for us, you know?
Ah, man, it's what a powerful story, too. So the next step, so you get on the list, essentially. Then what happens? Where do you go next?
So we get on the list, and then we end up in Providence, Rhode Island.
Okay.
And I know everybody listening to this, they're like, where the hell is Providence, Rhode Island, right? So it's crazy to make my journey even harder. Like, we can't even go to Texas or Dallas or Florida, right? We had to go to Providence, Rhode Island, where nobody even knows, right? So we end up going to Providence, Rhode Island. You know, me and Quitty, like, you know, we always loved sports. My mom always put us in sports. So growing up, we did track. Like, track was our first love because she did track. When she was in high school, she did track.
Mm.
So she was a sprinter and everything like that. So, like, track was always in our blood. So I guess you can say, like, speed was always in our blood. You know, so she always made us do track. So one day, I guess, I think my uncle or, like, my stepdad at the time had recommended to her, like, hey, you should put your kids through football. So she had took us to our first practice. I kid you not, remember, me and Quitty, we both looked at each other like, nah, man, like, this joint looked like it hurts. Like, because we seen the contact, and we're like, and we didn't understand it. We're like, oh, nah, they're trying to kill each other, you know? Because you got to think about it. We play sports that wasn't as violent. Like, we play basketball and track. Yeah. Like, there's really no violent in that, you know? So coming, playing them type of sports to doing football, it was like, it was a big, like, eye-opener. It was like, oh, snap, they're trying to kill each other. So
how old were you when you put your first, like, shoulder pads, helmet on? What age?
I believe I was, like, eight.
Eight?
Mm-hmm.
So then you were skeptical about it.
Yeah.
When did you first start saying, you know what, I like this. This is fun.
It's crazy. The first couple of years for me and Quitty was hard. Like, we wanted to quit. Like, we really didn't like football. Just because at the time, you know, we're these African kids and, you know, and we couldn't really speak as well or whatever the case is. We're just different, you know, like a lot of kids picked on us and everything like that. Like, for example, like when we had to come in and show our birth certificate, you know, for football, you have to show a birth certificate. We didn't have that. We had like an alien card.
Mm.
So like kids would like laugh and make fun of us because they're like, why is your card like green and red? Like, why don't you have a birth certificate? So we, like, me and Quitty, we, like, when it's like anytime the coach will ask for a birth certificate, we'll always like wait, like we'll always be like the last ones. We'll hide in the back and like we didn't want nobody to see stuff like that, you know. So like the first couple of years of like football, we didn't really like it. And on top of that, the coaches, they used to just like, you know, like, oh, you guys don't really know how to play football, just play line, just block him, you know. So I think when me and Quitty really started getting into football is when we started growing into our bodies, you know? So I think when we started getting like around 10, 11. You know, that's one thing our mom's like installed in us was that, you know, she didn't like quitters. Quitting was never her thing. Like, if she was here right now, she'd tell you, like, quitting is not in our DNA.
I mean, after what everything she went through,
yeah,
right?
So my mom was like, now you guys are going to stick with this, you know? So we stuck with it, and then we started to grow into our bodies. And when we started going through our bodies, all our attributes and everything started to come into play. So, like, our speed started to really come, and our strength started to come. And the coaches are like, hold on. Like, we started to grow some height. And we started to put on muscle, like, at a young age. We started, like, you know, so coach is like, hold on, these kids are, like, we went from, like, people pushing us to the side to, like, hold on, these kids might have a little something. And that's when they started trying us out for running back and all these skill positions. And we started to, like, score touchdowns, dominate, you know, and everybody started to know who we was. And that's when we looked at each other, like, hey, we can really do something with the sport now. Hold on. Like we're getting somewhere. And I think when we hit, like, around middle school, it was like when we make the 360. And that's when I think I started to see Quiddy's abilities. And I think that's when he started to see mine. It was like, all right, these guys are the real deals. I think when we hit middle school, it was like, all right, yeah, these guys can be something special. Yeah.
Started to fall in love with the game.
Yeah, really starting to fall in love with it now, you know, starting to watch football every Sunday, like that type of love, you know.
Wow. Well, I know a lot of football fans are happy both of you guys ended up sticking with it.
Yeah, right.
Talk to us about your mom, you know, as far as, you know, Quiddy obviously getting drafted, and you're on that next step. You're kind of pushing to see what's next for you as far as the NFL. How's your mom feel about all this? I mean, is it just like overwhelmed with emotion seeing Quiddy get drafted, see what you've done at the college ranks and seeing where you're headed? I mean, what's that like for her?
It's crazy. I think she wakes up. I think it's like God is really blessing her. You know, I mean, she went through what she went through, and it's so crazy. Me and her was having a conversation, and it's crazy. I think one day she had told me that she had to suffer so we can have a better life, you know, and that one hit deep to me because she really did suffer. You know, like my mom coming to this country, you know, you come into a new country, you don't even have a dollar to your name. Like, where do you start off from? And you don't even speak the language. Like, even to this day, my mom has trouble speaking English, you know, like she's still having trouble, like, adjusting, you know, to everything. So she went from that into, like, look what her kids are becoming, you know. So everybody's like, oh, we give you the praise and everything like that. But when we first started, everybody counted her out. You know, like, even our family members used to tell her, like, oh, you'll never be nothing. Imagine that. Like, people in our family, in our own circle, used to tell my mom, like, oh, you'll never be nothing. Your kids will never be nothing. Like, I don't even know why you're trying. Like, you guys are always going to be poor. You guys are always going to be servants. You know, my mom was like, and my mom always tell them, like, all right, well, we'll see. You know, I'm going to make sure I'm going to give the best for my kids. And, you know, we took it over from there. You know, we just became, you know, something. So I think everything we're doing is like we're just representing her, and we're just showing her, like, all right, like, we're down all the haters wrong. And it's like, all right, well, you guys always told her we wasn't going to be something, but look at us now, you know. So the same people who was getting on her, the same people who was sticking their hand out, congratulating her, telling her, like, wow, like, it's crazy what you done with these kids, you know. So it's very impressive.
We're talking to Komaite Kofi. We got a chance to watch some of his pro day stuff, of course, followed his career with the UNC Bears, and we're going to, of course, be following your career at the next level, too, man. I know, last thing here, I know you kind of said this off the air when we started, but, like, we were messaging back and forth, too. Like, you know, when times get hard and times get tough, you just think about your mother. Yeah. You know, what she went through, I can't imagine. I can't fathom, you know, just watching the videos, talking to you. And, I, of course, you talk about some of the stories so vivid. But I know for you, you know, personally, probably your brother, too, right? And your family, when you think about times getting tough, I mean, you go right back to her and what she went through.
Right. Exactly. I mean, I definitely had some dark times. I mean, as you've seen in the story, when Denver 7 had did a story on me, it was crazy. I went through some dark times, man. I moved all around the United States. Like, I was never in one place more than a year, honestly, as a kid. You know, I left home when I was 15. No brother, no mom, no nothing. You know, I just had this dream in my head that I wanted to become a professional football player. You know, and I had, you know, nobody really believed in me. I didn't really have any support. It's like I was just taking this leap of faith, and it's just like, you know what? You know, this is a dream I believe in. You know, let me just go out there and just see if I can, you know, just go ahead and accomplish it, you know? So it's crazy. Yeah. It's definitely like, I definitely had some hard times, you know, people kept shutting the door in my face, you know, even right now I get emotional because I never understood why, you know, like I never understood why the door kept shutting in my face. I think I even asked my mom one time, like, how come my journey has always been tough? You know, like I was like bouncing from school to school, and I went to all the camps, and I did everything everybody recommended me to do. You know, try to get on the radar. Like, hey, you go to this camp. I went to it. Oh, come here, go down south and play. And the door just kept shutting down my face. You know, and I really struggled like mentally. You know, with confidence, I really struggled mentally. Just like I had some time where I doubted myself. And I was like, like, man, can you really do this? Can you really pull this off? You know, and when I did, and the times I did like doubt myself, I'll call my mom and she'd be like, you know what? She's like, whatever happens, I'm proud of you. You know, mm-hmm. And she always tell me like, whatever happens, son, I'm proud of you. Like, cause you don't have to do this, but you know, and I just thought about her and I thought about everything she went through, and everything she went through, it just motivated me because it made my situation look little. You know what I'm saying? It's like, ah, oh, man, you're getting down because the door shut in your face when this lady was dodging bullets and, wow. You know, and this lady came to a whole new country, you know. So I just thought about her situation. I was like, you know what? I got to do this, you know. I made a promise to Quitty. I made a promise to her that, you know, I was going to do this. I was going to finish and I was going to get to the NFL by any means necessary, you know. And that's the drive I always had. And, you know, and that's the fire I always had in my eyes. Like, I don't care what anybody say. I'm going to get there. Is either you're going to help me or I'm going to do it myself. But one way or another, I'm going to get there, you know? So,
well, my friend, I certainly believe it, and I can't wait. I can't wait to follow you right. at that next level. Maybe we'll be playing for the Broncos, too, man. We can do this all the
hopefully,
time.
Hopefully, man.
I love that, my friend.
I love to.
All right, buddy. I really appreciate this. I'd love to do this again. I'd love to, you know, keep us updated on what your next steps look like. It would be very fun. It'd be great for us to be able to have that and let our listeners know what you're up to as well.
Right. Thank you guys so much.
All right, my man. We've got to grab a picture. We'll take a break here and grab a picture.
Okay.
All right. Good luck to you. Raven, it's great to meet. Next time, you're jumping on the air. She's got some takes. I know. I can just see it. She's got takes.
Yeah,
41 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out of here and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hull.
Forty-six minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, I love when we could do interviews like that. What a story from Komaite Kofi! If you missed any of that, we'll have the podcast out momentarily. I'll be following this guy along. What a great story, you know, a triumphant story for his family and sad stuff too. Of course, rebels, as he was talking about in this civil war where he grew up. You know, they burned down his mother Agnes's father's house, so his grandfather and. I know that's extremely emotional. That's what they were doing. They were burning down houses and killing people left and right. It's, you know, man, you sit here today. I sit here in a radio booth doing a show every day. Can't imagine. I just can't imagine the stuff that his mother went through. And for her to still be so powerful and strong and there for her children really is a true testament, man. It's one of those great stories of triumph that you want to hear about. All right, First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Jades, I know you're worried about the clock situation. Let's hit the big story of the day quickly. Presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. Yeah, we had a busy show. Busy show. Didn't even get a chance to get to some of this stuff. Bruce Arians is stepping down after three seasons as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers head coach, moving into a front office role with the organization. The team announced last night defensive coordinator for the Bucs, Todd Bowles, will replace Arians as the head coach. Now, we're wondering, does this have something to do with Tom Brady? Is the relationship okay? Here's what Bruce Arians had to say about that.
Get your ass on the golf course, man. No, we have a great relationship. I mean, all the players who are there, few in here, every one of them's gotten cussed out, including him. So it's just part of me, you know. So that's nothing new. But we have a great relationship. I mean, as soon as he retired, I think we text every week. Hey, where you at? What are you doing? When are you going to play golf? When are you getting back on this way? And so people got to write shit. I mean, and it couldn't be further from the truth.
48 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a short break, too. There he is, Bruce Arians, talking about stepping away from the Buccaneers organization as the head coach and moving into a front office role with the organization. 49 minutes after the hour. Short break. We'll wrap up the show. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy.
The The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to my man Brady Hall and The Hall Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Busy show. Started it off with Cody Tucker of 7220sports.com. We talked to Kevin Lytle and, of course, Komaté Kofi. That was great. Great stuff from him. Podcasts are available at thewholeshow.com and 1310kfka.com. Last night, the Nuggets game, Denver was smoking. Then Indiana comes back, makes it interesting. Austin Rivers gets tossed out of this game. Tony Brothers tosses him out. Look at the replay. He doesn't even touch him. Here's the call. Here's how it went down.
And this game has turned contentious.
Watch. Right here. He faked an elbow at him. He faked an elbow, and you see Stevenson's talking to Tony Brothers. No contact. Maybe it did, I don't know. But like they haven't even called it, and then Tony Brothers all of a sudden decide to call it, and they're sticking with the technical.
Would that be in the taunting genre of fouls, since there wasn't
contact?
I mean, Lance Stevenson getting everything he wants in this game.
Unbelievable. He faked an elbow at the guy. You watch the video, James. He faked an elbow. Didn't make contact, and Brothers said, nope, we're going with the tech there. Ejects him from the game. Wow. Nuggets win 125-118. They were up 43-15 at the end of the first. And the Pacers tied this thing up. They actually got up by two in the fourth period. Joker adding to that. MVP resume, though, 37 points, 13 boards, 9 assists, 5 games remaining. Come on. He's got this, right? Hey, go answer the poll question. It's available at thewholeshow.com. Who's your favorite MVP? I'll go with the Joker, because he's going to be the 2-time MVP. Nobody else has done that. All right, we're going to wrap it up here. We'll be back at it on a Friday. We got Rocky's Rundown. We're bringing it back with Tanner Schwint and Jerry Schimmel, former voice of the Rockies. We're looking forward to this program. That's coming up next. Jades, you ready for that, man? That's going to be a great show. All things Colorado Rockies. Rocky's Rundown here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Good night, Northern Colorado.